Log Talk Radio.
October 19th, 2016, 8 p.m., and it's a brother's point of view. If you want to kick it with us, you could be at blogtalkradio.com/a brother's P as in Paul, O, V as in Victor, a brother's POV, apostrophe with that S, a brother's POV. Come on, kick it with us. If you want to listen online and you want to call in and talk, the phone lines are open. If you call in, we'll pull you in so you can say something. The phone number to call in is 646-668-2132. So this week's topic, we're talking about the punkification of black manhood. We want to talk about what's going on with brothers and the images of manhood, what we see happening in these streets and in the ballrooms and in the relationships. And we want to see, you know, are brothers being men, have they kind of regressed to something lesser? So we're going to talk about that. Before we get to it, we're going to introduce the regular cast of characters, and we're going to start with my man who's been missing for a little bit because he's a big time dude in the world. He has a lot of work to do, and we have to respect the fact that the man is a working man. So we want to bring our family, our brother KG, back on the scene. Say what's up to the people, KG.
Hey, man, this topic is near and dear. So to me to talk about, let's get right to it. We're on the clock.
Next up, my man, John, J-O-N. Say what's up to the people.
Yeah, once again, I apologize beforehand. This is John Pyle, broadcasting high above Silver Spring. Again, I apologize for any kind of technical difficulties. Apparently, my phone is jacked up, but I don't have a Note 7. We're going to get it in about this topic because, like Chelsea said, this is extremely important, and we really, really need to discuss it.
Hey, Rob.
Last.
Rob, can we buy John a new phone for the next show? Can we buy him a new phone?
Yeah,
that is not remotely funny at all.
We might need to do that. So, last but not least, Big Ox, the one who takes care of the kids. Say what's up.
What's happening, people? Good evening, good night. Nothing but good wishes and blessings to you. But like my brother said, this is a hot topic. It's a passionate topic, so let's get to it.
And I want to say, if y'all out there listening, don't be scared to call in. Don't hit me up on my Facebook asking questions, saying you wanted to make a comment. Call on in. Make a comment. We'll pull you in, and we'll have some fun. So, fellas, I'm going to open it up because, I mean, we talked about the punkification of black manhood in general. Like, there's some funny things going on in this world right about now. But I wanted us to set the stage. I wanted each of you, one at a time, to kind of give us what your definition of manhood is, so we can at the very least see where people are starting from in terms of their understanding of what it means to be a man. So, John, you want to go first?
Okay. Well, basically, I will summarize it as such. A man is a male who sacrifices his wants or needs for the greater whole, which could be his wife and children, it could be his family or friends, it could be his mother, it could be his lover, or whatever. I submit that if you, as a human being, do not have someone that you feel materially responsible for, you may be male, but you're not a man. If the only thing that you're taking care of in the world is you, you're not quite there yet. That's my definition.
So you're saying you got to have, like, some person, people, entity dependent on you for its own existence,
well, yeah.
Sustenance? Is that what you're saying?
In other words, let me put it to you very simply like this. If, as a man, if we didn't have wives, children, girlfriends, mamas, sisters, you know, family, whatever you want to call it, friends, that we felt like we had to take care of, most men would be living in a one-bedroom apartment with a weight bench in the living room and riding a bus. The things that make you want to go out and accomplish things and do things, and I don't mean just say materially, but to become something in this world is a desire to make other people's lives better. It's the only thing. There comes a point in your life as a person, as a man, that you've bought all the shoes, you've bought all the video games, you've gone to all the clubs, you've dated all the women, you've done all those things, but you still feel like there's something that's missing. What is missing is you expending of yourself to help others. Once you reach that point, that's when you are made.
Okay. All right, cool. Neil, what about you? What's your definition of manhood?
Man, it's such a passionate topic, and I'm just listening. But to me, I don't think there can be a universal definition. Like, for me, I think manhood has to be learned. It can't be taught, because every quote-unquote man that may teach you a lesson might not really be a man in the societal view. So you have to learn it based on what your culture says, based on what you see you feel important. Like, to me, the basics for me would be, you know, the basics and the etiquette that we no longer see. A man opens the door for a lady. A man lets his lady walk on the inside of the street, not the outside of the street. A man takes care of his family. A man passes knowledge on to the next young boys that you see growing up and shows them the pitfalls and the obstacles that may happen in their life, but how to avoid it too. So I don't think there's a universal definition of what a manhood be, because it's based on your culture. Me being West Indian men do things differently from American men do. You know what I mean? So there's no universal. I think it's based on your culture and what you see. But for me, just basically, if I had to pick one specific factor, I'd say a man takes care of his family and a man keeps his word. You know, we all heard the old adage, all a man got is his balls and his word. So I agree with that. Take care of your family, and what you say you're going to do, do it.
All right. KG, what about you? What's your idea of manhood?
Man, so to listen to what Neil and John said, I think my definition more closely aligns with John, with Neil's actually. I think John's definition is somewhat, it negates some components, right? I think you could be a man without a family. I think you can be a man without the responsibility of looking after someone else. As Neil stated, I think a man he describes some characteristics of manhood in terms of, you know, opening the door for your woman, having her walk on the inside of the street. And this is in heterosexual relationships. You know, doing things that are what I would define as being self-sacrificing type of behaviors or sacrificial. You do things that you may not necessarily be inclined to do, but you do it because you're protecting or looking after or putting someone else's needs before your own in that situation. What I would define that as is courage. I think a man exemplifies courage. Look at the definition of this. It says this, it's a noun, right, first and foremost, period of being a man rather than a child. I think that's interesting as well. Men, especially those of a country, regarded collectively. It says qualities traditionally associated with men such as, but not included to, courage, strength, and sexual potency. A man is masculine. A man is, to be honest, a man can be weak, you know, showing emotions. It's a loaded question. Well, all of those things, in my opinion, it includes self-sacrifice and courage to do what others would not want to do or fail to do in the presence of such that demands it.
Okay. All right. So in terms of my view of manhood, I'm gonna do a deep dive too, because we all trying to do deep dives, not do surface stuff. One of the best ways I had it explained to me was by reading this book, Visions for Black Men. It was a book written by a brother named Dr. Naeem Akbar. He's a psychologist. And he sets up stages of existence to build us towards manhood. And he says, we have three stages of existence. We are males, and then we become boys, and then we become men. And I think sometimes we confuse what maleness and what boyhood is with manhood, because in a state of maleness, you're just existing. You're just there. Like a baby's a male. I mean, he gonna poop on himself. He gonna piss on himself. He can't feed himself. He's got to be dependent on someone else just for his own existence. That's just a baby. I mean, it is what it is. That's a male. And what the boy does is the boy grows up a little bit, and he can act like he's a man, but still be immature, still do the things that men wouldn't do, still don't take responsibility for their actions. So they haven't leap to the manhood stage. I mean, the boy can walk on the outside of a woman on the street. The boy can hold a door, whether she getting in the car or walking in the building. The boy can, you know, call her up and ask her out for a dinner, you know, but at the same time, he can still treat her like trash. And at the same time, he can still be doing that for 450 other women. So he ain't necessarily a man. The man takes responsibility for his actions. The man understands that he has a role to play within, well, first to himself, then within his family, whether it's, you know, his wife or his, you know, he's a son, and then within community, and then within the nation. The man recognizes that he has a role to play. And if he's not doing those things, then to me, he can't really exemplify manhood. And then I'm going to go even further. Men, in my estimation, and we're not going to have, you know, too deep of a religious discussion here, but, you know, I look at the Bible and I look at the Quran, and when I look at the creation of man, when I look at the creation of Adam in both books, Adam was created to do what God does in the place of God if God wasn't there. I mean, it's in the scripture, the way it's written. He was created to be the vicegerent. He was created to be the ones that the angels bow down to. You know, that was the prototype for manhood. So for me, if a man don't have control, don't have discipline, can't run nothing in this world other than his mouth, then he's lacking. He's not a man. A man has to be able, if he can't control anything in this universe, at the very least, he need to be able to control himself. So those are my ideas, thoughts on manhood. So now I want to branch this out. Where do you see this idea or your idea of manhood or our ideas of manhood, where do you see it missing in modern-day society? Where do you see it missing? Like I'm saying, whether it's popular
everywhere.
Culture, whether it's dudes you see. Okay, well, John was the first one to say, oh, man, if you want to hop on it first, and then we can transition to KG. Go ahead, John.
Okay, we'll keep this PG-13 to the greatest extent possible, but there is a concept out there called F-boy-ism, where there's a certain kind of weak-minded boy-child in a grown man's body kind of personality that's out there and is extremely prevalent these days. That's where, unfortunately, it's going. I hesitate. One thing I wanted to bring up that everybody kind of mentioned besides myself was that everyone defined what a man is in conjunction to how he treats a woman. Okay, a man walks on the inside or walks on the outside of the street or opens the doors or, you know, this, that, and the third.
I didn't say that entirely. I said he can do all that stuff and not be a man.
And not be a man. That's kind of what I wanted to kind of delve in, because
I also said that in a heterosexual relationship. I clarified that as well.
And clearly, yeah, you should be a man and not be a heterosexual. Let's state that clearly without a doubt.
Yeah,
so
that's,
anybody
that's,
out there that's,
that's
listening,
that's why I
you
said
can
that.
Do that.
That's
but,
why I said that.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess where is man's going? I really firmly believe that we are in a crisis. People do not know what it means to be a man. Unfortunately, our generation, our fathers who came up in the 70s and the 80s, they really dropped the ball in a lot of different ways, and they didn't give good examples. A lot of us grew up watching TV and trying to emulate what we saw on television because we didn't have fathers around to kind of be like. Not everybody, but a lot of people. And now we're having children, and them kids is dumb and screwed because they don't know what the hell is going on, and it's a lot of confusion. It's a lot of rancor. There is more animosity, in my opinion, between men and women today than any time that I've been paying attention, and I think it's precisely because so many boys don't understand how to be a man. They don't know. They don't have no examples. They just out there running wild in the street, and that's where we at, unfortunately.
I don't know where you get this from. Animosity between men and women is at an all-time high right now?
Right this instant. Yes, absolutely.
Where do you get this from?
Where
no,
I
don't.
Get it from? Oh, man. Popular culture, the movies that you see, the television shows, discussions with women.
You talking about anecdotal stuff? Like, where do you get this? Where do you get this from? Like, this sounds ridiculous to me.
Eldridge, I'm going to say this very slowly. Right this instant, 2016, relations between men and women are at a nadir. They are at an extremely low point. Women are absolutely, not all women, and again, I know we're generalizing, I'm not saying all women, I'm not saying all men, so let's be clear about that, but a lot detest each other, okay? A lot. And where am I getting it from? I'm getting it from the Internet, because that's where everybody is at. I'm getting it from the discussions I have with other people.
The Internet is always true. I got that, okay? Does anybody else agree with this? I can't sign up for this. Anybody else agree with this?
Well, I want to
see where I can see. Oh, go ahead, Ross.
No, go ahead, Neil. Go ahead.
No, I can see where John is coming from. I think the way he's
Neil.
Delivering it might be a little off, but I could definitely see where it's coming from. Like he's not completely wrong, fam. He's not. Like,
Neil.
Yo, wait a minute.
KG, let him finish. You said you wanted to hear someone else, whether they're going to co-sign or let him finish. Go ahead.
That was John talking.
Yeah. So basically, what I'm talking about is I see it between men and women. I'm not just saying just on the Internet. I'm talking about in life. I'm talking about day to day. Like, there is an intense animosity that I see exhibited in actions and words between men and women all the time. And I think
Give us examples of what this animosity looks like.
Okay, the infinite amount of negative portrayals of women in memes that you see that are mostly promulgated by men. And the reverse, the infinite number of negative examples of men that are mainly made and pushed out there by women. I'm kind of blown that y'all are even, to me this is very, very basic. I'm surprised that y'all are surprised.
Question.
Like to
so
me,
My original question was: does anybody else agree with this? I didn't ask for clarification, quantification of what John stated. I'm asking: does anybody else support what he's saying? And no, I haven't heard a yes or a no.
I say yes to a degree, a small portion. And the reason, from my point of view, is this: I don't think that when it comes to, and we're talking about black men, but we're going to delve off to a minor part where it's like black families no longer exist. They're like, there's a high, like, we don't have
for
black men. Hold on. We don't have black men that necessarily want to stay in marriages long term anymore. You know what I'm saying? And we have a lot of women that are like, well, hey, I don't need you. I can raise my child by myself. So if we don't have those young men or black men that are willing to, or men in general, I won't even put a race on it, but if we don't have men who are willing to step up and fight for their families and fight to make things work, and they want to take the back way out, like, all right, I'll let my woman do this, I'll let her pay all the bills, I won't step up in any way. So women feel like, well, I don't need you, and they get the general category sense, not all women like John said, but they get the general categorical sense of, well, I don't need a man. If you look at it like that, there's not a lot of couples staying for the long haul 20, 30, 40 years in marriage no more. So that's what I get from John's perspective when he says about, you know, the families, there's a lot of tension between the families, but that's what I get out of it. That's where I think he's coming from. That's why I said I agree to a point.
So, Neil, just to kind of be very clear, nobody, you introduced color and race into this. Nobody else said anything about black, white, you know.
Right. Hispanic. Right. That's what I said, my point of view. I got you.
Hold up for a second. But, again, you're categorizing your lens. Everybody else is speaking very broadly. So, I'm still looking at his perspective from a very broad perspective, and I was going to ask the question later. Are we going to introduce race into this equation? I would like to hear, what do you think? I still disagree with John. I disagree with Neil as well, even though he's talking about the black family specifically. If I were to speak about that specific thing, I think even though black women, I have heard them say, I can raise a kid on my own because they've been doing it for quite a long time, I've never heard them say, I don't need a man. I don't need a spouse.
What?
I think.
Oh, come on, man.
Wait. Now,
Let him finish.
Now, I would know. We can't quantify any of this. None of us here
exactly.
are statisticians, so we're not quantifying anything. Everything we're talking is anecdotal. But the reality is, there are women. There are women out there who say this. So when we talk about, if we're going to talk about the family, the black family, we need to talk about the role of manhood and or a man in the black family, and the pros and cons, what works, what doesn't work, and all that good stuff. Because we want to keep this focus on these images of manhood. But based to what John said about him seeing during this time more than any other time this conflict between the black man and the black woman.
She didn't say black.
Well, wait a minute. Let me clarify that. Anytime I'm talking about black people. I don't feel the need to add black to everything. But anything that I'm saying and discussing, I'm not talking about Latino, Asian, womp. Anything that I'm discussing, I'm mainly mostly focused on black people, even if I don't say black people. I just say people.
All right.
I'm talking about black people.
All right, so we're going to say we're saying black people. This conflict being higher now than it's ever been. I believe that there is a high level of conflict between our genders. I do. I don't think it's higher now than it's ever been because historically black men have done a good job internalizing white men's racism to the point where we've become just as sexist as they are and as misogynistic as they are. So throughout our time here, we've been doing what men shouldn't do. We've been putting our foot on women's necks and holding them down. So that conflict has always been there. It may be amplified more because of social media, but the reality is women throughout the ages have been able to acquire a lot more things. They are the most educated group of people in America. Black women have more degrees than any other subgroup in America. They have jobs.
Yep.
They're making six figures. You know, so they have some stuff to the point where they're like, nah, I don't have to put up with that no more because you're not doing right. You're not treating me right. You're not acting like a man. And then to KD's point, they do end up saying, I don't need a man for this. I can have a kid. I don't need no man. If this is, I can do bad all by myself. If this is how a man's going to treat me, then I don't need to be with that man. So I see the conflict has always been there. Now, on the flip side, if we are going to take social media into effect, at least on my timeline, I'm seeing more now than ever marriages and babies and engagements. I'm seeing a lot of that on Facebook. So that will, on the surface, speak to less conflict, but on the surface, I don't know what those relationships look like because we know of a bunch of relationships where people look happy on social media, but in reality, what they got going on in their family and in their relationship is a whirling mess of hot poo. So You can't call it.
But Rob, what you're talking about is your network, a circle of friends. So I'm with
right.
you. Like I don't see what John sees. Like my people that I surround myself with, and I'm not saying John does, but what I follow, what I see, I don't see negativity. Black women ain't talking about, oh, the black man is terrible, or men in general are terrible. I don't see black men saying, oh, women are terrible. Like I just don't see that. I don't have that exposure. Even in my job, where I work with women all the time, every single day. And at no point in time in my career have I ever heard people at great length say, you know what, I hate men. No, they're in there shopping for that nice stuff because they want to look good and sexy for their significant other, whether it be a man or a woman. So I just, again, back
can
to
I
manhood in general.
Right. No, can I add something to that, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
Socioeconomic status changes that discussion as well. Because if you
Absolutely.
Find yourself in a hood, you'll be quick to find a sister who'll be like, that man ain't ish. So, you know, when we broaden that discussion out, I think men can be more in control and drive that interaction and drive that discussion if we are more like men, if we act more like men. And then some people are like, well, what does it mean to be a man? I think we covered what we believe it is to be a man. But at the base of all of our beliefs, all of our varying beliefs, is responsibility. So if the brother is responsible enough to take her into consideration, her thoughts, feelings, and emotions, responsible enough to take her into consideration when he's plotting and he's planning, responsible enough to treat her fairly and treat her right and care for her, if he does that, any woman who says they don't need that man, then that woman shouldn't be with a man, period. If she got a dude that's doing right by her and she don't want that dude, then she need to go date something else.
He might be
and they definitely are.
I'm not saying something else in terms of a woman. I'm talking about certain something else in terms of not in this world, maybe on four legs and a tail. They don't want a human being. If a human being is going to sit there and treat you right and all you can do is think of negative things about that human being, then something's off with you.
Listen, I'll be the first. I'll co-sign what Keltrick was saying in that you are going to be the culmination of your experiences, and you know it all depends on your little social circle and all that kind of stuff. I totally agree with that, but there is a problem with to bring this back to the manhood discussion. The problem right now is that men have completely. Stop leading their families and their communities and being responsible people by and large.
I agree with that.
I mean, and I'm not, again, this is not all men, so we're not talking about everybody because, of course, there's going to be people who are doing what they're supposed to do. But unfortunately, by and large, a very great portion of men are simply abandoning their children. They are living off of whomever, whether it be their mama or their family or their girlfriends or whomever, and generally being suctioned on what other people need to be doing.
They're not men.
All right.
And
you
not
know,
men.
You know
I
what?
Mean,
that's something. You say they're not men, right? And I would say the
yeah,
same
absolutely.
Thing. Let me ask you this question, because I think John might have touched on it, that – or Neil may have touched on it, that there's no definitive description of what it means to
definition.
Be a man.
If you think about, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, KG, do you believe that?
That what? That there's no definitive
definition of what it means to be a man.
There's no definitive role. Like, if we were all raising, if we never knew what a man was and we all looked at a definition or asked somebody or asked another male or elder male or a grandfather, hey, what does it be a man? Is his words or his description the ultimate universal definition? I don't think so. I don't think there's a universal one. What's a manhood to you could be, you know, just general random acts of kindness to me. So I don't think there's a universal definition.
No, I disagree. I think there is a definition. I gave it to you. That's the definition on paper. the interpretation is what you're talking about. That is up for discussion. The definition of manhood is solidified. No different than the definition of what a car does is solidified. Now, can do in terms of the extras or, you know, the particulars, it may be a little bit more for discussion, but a definition,
I got you, but so let me pick your mind on that then. So if we're saying there is a definition, and what I'm talking about is an interpretation, let's just hypothetically use our imagination. Let's say you, Keltrick, you wrote that definition of what manhood is being. Do you think that definition applies to every man on the face of this earth? That's what I'm saying. When I say, like, I agree with you when you say interpretation, but feel me when I say there is no universal definition, because it's based on that individual's perspective. It's based on how that individual was raised.
Neil, what you're telling me is I can't answer your question, because I look at it like this. Marriage has a definition. The institution of marriage has a definition. When I went to marriage counseling, what our pastor kind of told us was, don't worry about what somebody else does in their marriage. You know, somebody in their marriage, they may have the wife looks at all the money, she handles all the money, the husband has nothing to do with it. In other relationships, it may be the other way around. What you do in your marriage is what you do in your marriage. Nobody can tell you what's right or what's wrong in your marriage or what you and your spouse agrees to do. The same thing with manhood. My definition of manhood may not apply to every single man on the face of the planet, or every single male on the face of the planet. I may label somebody a man based on my own interpretation and say, you know what, that's a man. That's a coward. That person is not a man at all. So, again, when I go back to the man or the guy who's staying at his mom's house when he's 40 years old, I'm going to go ahead and say, you're not a man. You're not responsible enough to receive the label of being a man.
I'm going to hop on that because I look at it like this. There's a definition for cupcake. There's a definition for chair. There's a definition for glass. There's a definition for table. And we don't ever quip and quibble over what those definitions mean and could they mean something different to other people. The only time I ever hear this discussion come up is when we talk about what it means to be a man. And that's why I like the whole punkification of manhood thing, because I think that's a part of the punkification of it. When we say, everything else has to live according to the definition of it except manhood. So when we say that, I believe we're building in a back door. We're building in a loophole so that we don't have to live up to that definition of manhood. And we can allow ourselves to still do boyish things, maleish things, and not fully be responsible for a man, being a man. Now, you could fail at being a man, but that's okay. Get up, try again. But I think when we pervert what it means to be a man, we then put that out to everyone else and let them come up with their own definitions of what it means to be a man, and those definitions will fall short terribly.
And then people buy into that.
Well, that's just what it means to be a man for him. Nah, I don't buy that. I think there are definitions for manhood. Period.
Yeah, I hear you. I disagree, and I'll tell you why. When I was growing up, to be a homosexual was not acceptable. Like it wasn't like, okay, you know, let's hug it out, right? That wasn't the environment I grew up in. It wasn't. I mean, in America in general, like it was taboo. Over the course of my 30 and some change plus years on this planet, that acceptance, belief, thought process has evolved and changed. Not just for me, but for scores of people, where you can be a man in conjunction and being a homosexual. Where in the past, I would argue,
absolutely,
the perception was
those two
are not one and the same. So when I say that the definition of man, it has to be fluid. It can't be a stagnant thing, because as we mature in this planet, on this earth, and our time out in this society, what's acceptable evolves as well. So you can't have this as your standard and that be non-negotiable, because it'll become irrelevant. So what I believe is happening, quite frankly, is somebody's holding on to a stagnant definition, and the scope of what men do, to some extent, has changed. which can lead to your point, the pacification, or we kind of cleaning it up a little bit, of the quote unquote man. Now, I still, in that same respect, think that is taking place. Again, the number of people that I am aware of who stay at home with their moms, who have no jobs, who aren't out there trying to hustle to make it happen for him and or his family, been irresponsible, making babies with people they don't really know that well, and skipping out on those responsibilities, those are punks, in my opinion. You are not going to be a man. A man doesn't hit a woman. If you bit a woman, you are a ridiculous clown to me. You are a cupcake. We can make that definition work for them. There's no excuse for something like that. So those are not men to the Celtic.
Right. Let me get a caller, because we do have a caller, and the caller's been on for a minute. Caller, I'm going to call you by the last four digits of your phone number. If you're just listening to the show over your phone, and go on ahead and tell me you're just listening. But if you have something to say, give us your name, where you're calling from, and let us know what you would like to offer to the discussion. Last four digits is 3068. 3068. Your mic is hot.
You're on the clock.
How y'all doing? Go straight. You're up in New York.
What's up, brother?
What's going on, brother? I actually got in late. I actually got on the call late, but I actually got the last 15 minutes. And I don't know who mentioned it before in terms of the fluidity of the definition of manhood. I think, from my personal perspective, it's probably more accurate, because I think social norms, as well as geographical and your heritage, is going to determine, you know, what manhood is. Manhood and being a male are sort of a thing. A definition of a male is something that can be stagnant because it's more biological. But yep. Manhood has to do with, you know, where you grew up, how you grew up. And as one of y'all mentioned, or at least a couple of y'all mentioned, times have changed. So because times have changed, we get to change along with the times. So you have to say that just because my significant other makes more money than me and I may stay at home, does that make me less of a man? Because we have come to this understanding, agreement, that my role in our dynamic is such. Does that make me less of a man than someone else because he is the quote-unquote breadwinner? You know, these definitions are going to be as fluid as, you know, the masses dictate. But as far as, you know, I guess the rest of what you were talking about, like I said before, I got in on the conversation a little bit late, so I didn't hear the overall definition, and I didn't hear what you guys actually mentioned prior to that.
Hey, brother, you could always go to our website and listen to our podcast, get the whole conversation, take it all in.
Good luck, Chase.
Thank you very much, Chase. Yeah, no, but, you know, and I think people are right in terms of there's this fluidity of what it means to be a man. But I think there's certain things that play into it, and it'll play into it from now until the end of eternity. And the main thing that'll play into it is the responsibility. Like, one thing I would never do, and I don't think it was right to do it then. I think they had a wrong concept of manhood back then. You don't tie manhood to sex and sexuality. You don't tie manhood solely to genitalia. What you do with your genitalia is not what defines you as your gender.
Okay, so wait a minute. Now, to build off on that, because there's a group of people out there that's called studs, all right? A stud is a masculine-presenting woman who is a masculine-presenting lesbian, for lack of a better word. I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. But the few that I've come in contact with, and I'm not going to pretend to be the expert on what studs do and think and feel and say, but they honestly do feel like they are men. I have gotten into some very heated discussions with these people because, no, you're not. I don't give a damn how big your dildo is. I don't care how many women you slept with, how much rent you pay. You are not a man. You are a woman who presents as – you are a masculine woman. You are a woman who presents as a man, but you ain't a man.
Right. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who are born biologically men but choose to have sex with other men, what they do with their genitalia. That does not play into their definition of manhood. That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about women. who wanna be a man. I'm not talking about that. A woman who felt they were born men and they were trapped in the world. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those who are biologically male and decide to have sex with other men. Do you lose your manhood over that?
Of course not. No. And yeah, people was wrong for that.
Go ahead.
No, that's what I was
Neil,
about
you
to say. I mean, people. Yeah, go ahead.
No,
Neil.
No, I wanted to pose a question based off what Chase said, because I've had conversations between that before, and I'd love your input on it since we're on the manhood. So with the new, well, not the new emergence, with the emergence, and I say in the last past maybe like 10 to 15 years, what is your input or what is your viewpoint on the large scale of men who become Mr. Moms, if you will, because their significant other, heterosexual, of course, their wife, makes more than them. So he may not be making as much, or he may be unemployed, but he stays home, takes care of the family, takes care of the kids, picks them up from daycare, school, cooks dinner. In societal view, how do you feel? You think he's emasculated, or, like Kelchick said, it's just a changing of the times and we've come to accept it? So in other words, do you still think they have their manhood shield, if they will, the ones that have become
absolutely
Mr. Moms now?
Yeah,
absolutely. Let me marry a woman that makes 6 figures. Let her make 7 figures. I have no problems with staying at home and taking care of the crib, but that don't mean that I'm no longer a man, because I'm still going to be
right
doing my own thing. You know,
right, right. I mean, I totally agree. I'm just saying perspective on how society may view, you know, because I'm sure there's a small group of people that will be like, oh, well, you're Mr. Mom. I'm like, come on, man, times have changed. So if the wife is the breadwinner and it behooves you to be the one to pick the child up, stay home, you're cleaning the house, you're cooking, and things of that nature. But, you know, some men may feel they're emasculated because of that.
Hey, Neil, at the end of the day, everybody got a role. At the end of the day, everybody has to play a role in the relationship. Now, I don't have a problem with the man who stays at home. I don't think they're Mr. Mom at all. I think they're the man, and it's their role in the relationship. And if they're worried about what somebody else thinks or what label they want to put on them, they're a clown too. I could give a damn what anybody thinks about what I do in my marriage and my relationship with my wife. It ain't their business. So they can kiss my behind,
right,
and I keep it moving.
Let me flip that, because I'm gonna tell you what a lot of women I've talked to in this area have been dealing with. It's on the same thing you're talking about, Neil. Because we in a D.C. metropolitan area other than KG. He's not in the area. He left us. But we in a D.C. metropolitan area, and there are a lot of women who are making bank. They in IT, they in education, they in the federal government. They're making 6 figures. I went out with this one young lady. She had a Range Rover and a BMW and her own big house. And what she was telling me is that she was dating dudes, and dudes, like a lot of dudes in this area, were in their feelings because Shorty made more money than them. To the point where they were nasty to her, like, ain't no man ever gonna want you, because you got it all. Ain't what, no man gonna feel, like a man wants to feel like he's gonna bring something to the relationship, and you got it all. Ain't no man gonna want you. And I was flabbergasted. I was straight flabbergasted. How can a dude?
That's insecure.
That insecure.
What's wrong with being insecure? Why are we not allowed to be insecure? Why can't we be insecure like everybody else gets to be? Gentlemen, let me just real quick.
Wait, don't move off of that topic. We can be insecure, but I want to hear what you guys say about that topic. So if you want to talk about it from the context of you could be insecure, fine. But talk about it from a context where you're so in your feelings, and it's not just one or two, it's a stack of dudes out here. You're so in your feelings that you are threatened by a woman who makes more than you.
Rob, this is exactly what – this cuts to the exact core of what we're talking about. Men are not allowed to be emotional. They're not allowed to be insecure. They're not allowed to have fear and all these other different things that women do get the space to be. So, yeah, a lot of people are going to feel some kind of way because men want to feel needed. In fact, I'll take it beyond that. People want to feel needed. So if you have a woman that is making serious money and she has no problem telling you, I don't need you, I want you, I don't need
no,
you.
No, don't add to, don't add that to the discussion. Don't add that to the example. That wasn't an example. They were looking for a real relationship with a man. They weren't being confrontational or combative. They weren't saying I don't need you. They wanted a man. They wanted to be in a loving relationship with a man, and going out with these women, these dudes got in their feelings because the women were showing up in these cars and had these big houses. They never came out their face talking about, I don't need you. So don't add that to the example. Talk about it.
But then, you know what? And I agree with you.
They were talking about what they were doing and what they were saying. Now, what they told you might be one thing, but as a person that's out there on the scene, you know full well what these women are talking about and what they're saying when they are in those positions.
But you know
and
what,
I think from my own perspective. I never had a woman say that to me. 42 years
I think it is when Ron asked that question about why those dudes are insecure. I think, I don't know whether it was one of us or one of the callers said, it's probably based on cultural, how you were raised. So if you had nothing but, let's say you didn't have a father figure, but you had uncles or dudes on the block, and you were raised from, I don't know, when you got impressionable, 8 up until you started making bank, that a man is supposed to be the breadwinner. A man is supposed to be the breadwinner. Quote, unquote, whether that's right or wrong, whether it's a right or wrong theory or theme to beat into your head. Now you're older. Now, let's say you've been grinding for X amount of years in a particular field. You come across a woman who you love, this, that, and the nature. But like you said, she's in the IT. So she's making $100,000, $150,000 off the break. Based on how you were groomed and based on how you were conditioned to be like, the man is the breadwinner, the man is the breadwinner. Now you got a lady who's making $100,000, $150,000. Yes, you love her. Yes, she loves you. Yes, everything is gravy. But how you were conditioned is saying, oh, damn. I'm supposed to be the one making a bank. So that's where the insecurity may come from, right or wrong, because I totally agree with KG on that might be insecurity, but at the same token, right or wrong, if that's the way he was groomed, he's going to have that feeling. Because, you know, I'm taught to think I'm the breadwinner, I'm supposed to provide, I'm supposed to be the one, you know, like in Goodfellas, when Shorty was like, I need some money, and he's like, you want this much or that much? You know, if that's how you were groomed, but now you're not the breadwinner, and you've been grinding 10, 15, 20 years in a particular profession, and you can't see that bank, you are going to have some level of insecurity, some level of being in your feelings, right or wrong, not agreeing with it, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel like that. I feel like this.
I got to touch on this because it blows my mind. I refuse to believe I'm living in a different world than y'all are. So let's just say, I'm using your example, Arkane. There's a woman who is making serious money. She's very financially successful. She is secure, so on and so forth. She wants to date you. Now, her level is, for example, Ruth Chris Dennis. Her level is going to, you know, I don't know, New York for the weekend on a date. Your level is going to Red Lobster. You know full well, if you take that woman that is used to Ruth Chris to Red Lobster, you will not be dating her for very long because you are not capable of doing the things for her that she feels like she's supposed to be doing. It is a very rare woman, please go front, that is going to be like, no, I'm going to step my taste and my levels down to make your ass feel better. That's not the way that
your equation is incorrect. Your equation is incorrect. Because I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. In your equation, you assume that when she goes to New York, somebody's taking her there.
She's gonna take you there to New York, what are you trying to say? Please don't tell me
she
you
could.
Expect her to pay for you to go to New York, and that's gonna
she
last.
She could.
Oh man, go ahead. Okay.
Listen, what you're missing, John. This is the deal with you. What you're missing. You have the opinion that finances dictate the relationship. I disagree with that.
Every time.
I disagree with that. At the end of the day, in my opinion, if there is an emotional connection and the man, I think Neil said this earlier, I think not Rod, you did, and the man puts the woman first, her needs first, the money will not be an option or an issue. It becomes an issue when and if the man stops holding up there and in the bargain. So if you're not bringing this finance to the table or to the equation, then you better bring a whole lot of emotion, a whole lot of loving, a whole lot of cleaning, a whole lot of care, all the things that you want your woman to do if you are the provider, quote unquote. You gotta bring other to the table. You can't sit in your ass at home and be like, well, she making all the money. I'm just going to chill and play video games. That ain't going to work. So,
and I respect your viewpoint, Kelsey. Let me ask you a scenario. And it's real brief, and I'm going to go along. Well, based on your scenario, and we probably know people or have heard of it before. So hypothetically, if there was a couple, and the man loved her emotionally, spiritually, all that, whatever the case may be. Let's say he lost his job, and she's the breadwinner. Let's say she's bringing in 180, whatever. He lost his job, but he's supporting her emotionally, taking care of the kids the best he can, all that. What you're trying to say, and I'm feeling both of y'all to a degree, unemployment is crucial. So let's say he don't find a job for like 6 months to a year. In your perspective, do you think that woman will still, and I'm not knocking women, it's just a general question, do you think that woman will still hold him down and that finances will not be an issue because he's catering to every other need?
But I know people where the woman is the sole breadwinner and the husband does not work. He stays with their three kids every day, all day. They're married for a number of years. So, in their relationship, it's not like the dude is like, oh, my God, I got to get out there and work. I got to grind. No, she handles everything, every single thing. So, again, is it possible? Yeah. But, again, in your equation, you're talking about a dude that doesn't have a job. And what begins to happen is within the guy's mind, in my opinion, is self-doubt. He becomes depressed. And nobody want to be around a depressed person all the time. Like, dude, it's okay. I got you. Somebody said, I got you, and said, you ain't got to work no more. Then you either take that at his value and say, all right, I'm not. I trust you. Or you don't trust that person. No, I want to be on my grind, and I want to find something. And because you're grinding and showing, go ahead.
I was about to say, you know how they say a drunk mouth speaks a sober mind, right? So you drink a little bit, and you pretty much say what you are. You know, there's no filter. It's the same thing in relationships when it comes to money. When that money is gone, the screen is pulled back on that relationship. So what I'm looking at is, what's the nature of that relationship? Did they really build a relationship? Do they have true companionship? Is there some level of animosity and resentment that never got dealt with in the dating, the courting, and then in the marriage, in the actual marriage? If there's some resentment and there's some animosity and that stuff has never been addressed, and now you add on top of that not having a job by way of if you got, you know, laid off or you quit your job or whatever, and now you're not working, and then when you add on top of that the depression that goes on with the real relationship will come out. Now, if you have a relationship, like a genuine, caring, loving relationship with a person who puts you in your feelings ahead of almost anything else, they're not going to all of a sudden be like, boo to you because you don't have a gig or I'm making more money than you. If it's a true relationship, I don't think that'll happen. And maybe I'm being idealistic, but I don't think that'll happen. I think oftentimes when we get in these relationships, we don't put the right work on the front side. Then when we have this trauma that enters into the relationship, we see what our relationship was. Trash.
The reality of the situation. The situation that Kilford described, where the man stays at home and takes care of the children and is a stay-at-home father, there are plenty of examples of that. That is a small minority of the of relationships, in my opinion. And the actual truth is, most people, male or female,
right.
A man is unable to take care of, at minimum, himself, they're going to lose respect for you. Your woman is going to lose respect for you, regardless of how much money you make, how much money she makes, or whatever the case is. If you literally, all you bring to the table is love, all you bring to the table is your affection, that's going to wear out after a while, because the love ain't going to keep the lights on. It's just an unfortunate fact of the matter. And she is going to
be tired of
that.
Let me ask y'all a question real quick, and I love y'all perspective. If y'all had, like, you know, sisters or colleagues, you know, females that were, you know, talking about marriage, and they told you that their viewpoint on marriage for the black man was that the man takes care of everything, the mortgage, the rent, the car notes, things of that nature, what would your feedback or response to that be? They were conditioned that way to think the man takes care of everything, the mortgage, the bills, everything. I don't have to worry about anything.
I would tell her that's unrealistic, unreasonable, and irresponsible.
I would tell her that she needs to be able to live in whatever circumstances that man can provide. If you believe your husband should or your man should take care of all those things, and he's making $45,000 a year, you need to ratchet down your desires and get used to living in that two-bedroom apartment. If that's cool with you, then great. Go work for it. You know, handle your business.
What about you, Cage?
The concept is, I feel like we kind of going in a weird direction, but I wouldn't care.
Always.
I just think that at the end of the day, we're putting our own individual biases into the equation. If we speak objectively, like Ross said, and it's a true relationship, she'll ride with you no matter what. Again, she's making the decision at that point, and you're supporting her decision. She knowingly enters into that dynamic, that relationship, saying, you know what, I will be the breadwinner. I know your scenario. I love you regardless. You know, we can make this happen. The only time that stuff doesn't work is if she doesn't believe it in the first place. She's just saying that because she's trying to hold on to something, or vice versa. Or the dude is saying he's okay with it, and then he gets into the feeling because he says, you know, we can't afford to do something. And the dude's like, you can't tell me no. I'm the man. Well, yeah, you are, but, you know, this is the financial contract that we're in. So
I got another hypothetical to build off of something that Neil was saying, but kind of flipping it. Let's say that you have a close sister, a female relative, close female friend, et cetera, and she laid out to you, I got this man that I'm interested in. He's going to stay home. He's going to keep the house. He's going to watch the kids. I'm going to take care of everything. What advice would you give her, if anything? Would you say, that sounds really, really good? That sounds awesome. Or would you say, he ain't got no job? He ain't got no money, and he's going to take care of kids. He's going to clean the kitchen. Okay. Yeah. Please tell me what you would say to her. And
how much does my sister make?
She can handle all the bills on her own. That's a really good point. She can handle all. She don't need him. She got it all on her own. She got the house in her name. The cars is in her name. The bills is in her name. She can handle everything. She don't need a dime from that man. All he got to do is walk his simple ass in there and take care of the kids and clean the house, and everything is all good. Tell me
what you would tell that good female friend. Let's end it soon on this hypothetical. KG, I'm gonna let you get the last word on this one. What I would do is I would make sure that she gave thought to it, and that was a decision that they came to out of discussion, and that was something that they were willing to be committed to. And if that's what they wanted to do, that's what they want to do. Now, I will say this: just because she has the money, don't mean she got it all. Because she can have that money, and then he can go on out and make money, and then no one's really looking after their kids, and they got to leave that kid to daycare in the school system, and that kid grow up to be Jeffrey Dahmer. No, some father or mother need to have more time with that kid. So if that's what they choose to do because they feel that will make their children's childhood a better experience and then make them have a more well-rounded household, if that's their choice, I would just make sure she is clear on that was her choice. So that's what I would say to her.
Neil?
Okay. Oh, no, I thought you said it was you. You know what? I mean, we all have discussions. We all agree and disagree. But I totally agree with Rob's statement. I totally agree with Rob's statement. If that's what they've come to and it's a mutual agreement and they are comfortable with that and they're willing to live with that, so be it. You know, that's why I said initially that I didn't think there was a universal definition of what manhood is, because whatever it is based on your marriage or your culture, we can't say nothing on it.
10 seconds, KG.
No, listen, man. I'll fight up for it. If she's good with it, I love it. You know, at the end of the day, that's her life. She's going to deal with the repercussions of her decisions, like we all do. So, I love it.
There it is. We're gonna end on that note. Listen, y'all, the debate is coming up, drinking game. Yeah, every time Trump sniffs, take a drink. Every time he mentions ISIS, take a drink. Every time Hillary giggles or shimmies, take a drink. That's what we're doing, y'all. Next week, A Brother's Point of View. We'll catch y'all later. Peace out.
I'm focused, man. Tell Stout to holler at me, man.